Regional Public Radio for Acadiana, KRVS-FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile. And in the studio today, we're going to be talking about a production that is opening this week at Burke Hawthorne Hall right here on the campus of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. And I've got three folks that are very involved in this production happening. The production is Wolves in the Wall, and The Wolves in the Walls, and it was first published in 2003. It won awards for the New York Times Best Illustrated Children's Book, the IRA CBC Children's Choice Award, and the British Science Fiction Association Award for Short Fiction. It was adapted for this production by our own native, Cody Daigle. But who we have here today, it's going to have a great set. There's puppetry involved in this, and the puppetry is because of one of our guests, Elsa Dimitriadis.
Hi.
Hello, Elsa. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having us.
Her partner, Brady McKellar, they are both of Wanderlust Theater. He is next door in the theater working his tail off. Well, yeah, you took some time out.
We both couldn't come, so yeah. He volunteered me to come.
He volunteered you. Well, I appreciate you doing that.
Thank you.
Also in the studio, we have director Walter Brown. Welcome, Walter.
Thank you.
And producer, amongst other things, Marie, is Marie Diaz.
Hi, Cheryl.
For people that have been involved in theater in this area, very familiar with both Walter and Marie, they currently are involved with Theater 810. They have the acting group Acting Unlimited. And if people out there haven't been to Theater 810 in downtown Lafayette, please go check it out for one of their upcoming performances, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it's right downtown on Jefferson Street, and it's a great place to go visit. So I want to talk first, and this might be Walter and Marie, but how did this piece get chosen to do Wolves in the Walls?
Well, Marie particularly liked this book. She thought that it had a good message for people and that it would be both appealing to children and to adults. So if we had been talking about trying to find a good summer show for all of our younger actors, and by younger I mean like under my age, which is... and so
20.
Easily.
Yeah.
So we thought that this might be a good opportunity for us to do it. And she contacted Neil Gaiman, and he gave us the rights to do this show. Mm. And Cody Daigle liked the story very much and wanted to do the adaptation for us, and we thought that he would do a good job for us, and he did. So over a period of a couple of months, we were going back and forth, and we got the permission to do this, and we felt that it was a show that would showcase actors, that would give them the new skill set by incorporating the use of puppetry, and that it would be a story that both young audiences and adult audiences would find equally appealing, although for different reasons.
And now you have been involved in theater for a lot of years of your life.
Yes, I have been.
How did you get involved in theater, Walter?
Actually, I was a child actor. I was the same age as some of the actors in the Book of
D. I didn't know that part.
Yes, I began as an actor.
At what age?
Nine. I was nine when I did my first show.
Do you remember the first show?
Oh, yes. It was The King and I.
Ah.
I was one of the little princes in The King and I, and I got introduced to Anna. And I had a line because I was had the loudest voice in my class.
All right, Walter. Great to have that skill set, huh?
You bet.
Well, then, when you got to be an adult, did you go to school for art?
Yes, I did.
And for theater?
I did. I began in literature and psychology and history, and then I shifted over to art and theater.
Okay. And where was that? Where
were you? I started at Cal State Fullerton, but I finished my degree here at ULL.
Okay.
And then I got my master's degree at Purdue.
Ah, okay. In Indiana.
Yes.
And now you had, when you were in California, you worked in theater while you were there?
Yes, I was the first props master for the Fullerton Civic Light Opera.
Ah.
Then I got drafted, and then when I came back, I began working with various groups.
In working with various groups, were you, because since I have known you, for most of the time, you have been behind the scenes. You haven't been on stage acting. I've seen, you know, a couple things, but you have been either directing, doing everything it takes to put the piece together, or and if people have never seen the sets that Walter builds, those also are are very, very nice. But did you start to focus more on being behind the scenes?
Yes, when I was in high school, I had some bad habits as an actor, and my director was having trouble breaking them, so he made me do the light booth one show. So that I would see what happens when people mumble and turn their backs to the audience and cover their hands at critical moments. And I did. I learned a lot about my bad habits. But I also fell in love with doing the technical.
Yeah.
Plus, when I started out, even if you had the lead, you had to work on sets or props or costumes. You had to do tech for every show that you were involved in. And I was an artist. I liked doing all of that. And as time went on, I began shifting my focus. And there were more openings for people in technical theater.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to direct.
Oh, okay. And when did the teaching come in for you? Because you're also known as a teacher.
I began teaching really when I began directing, because I did a lot with community theater and people who had little or no experience. And I would have to bring them up to a pretty good standard pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I began really teaching classes, I guess, over the last 5 or 6 years. I've been teaching privately here.
Yeah, and with good with a good response from folks that have taken from you.
Well, we'll find out when we see Book of D.
there you go, Marie. I know you don't. You know, we're going to pull you in here. When people talk about theater, I always think it's a good thing to remind folks out there that even though somebody, because what Walter said, I think is so important, that this really does have to be a labor of love, because even though you get cast, like Walter said, a lot of times in a lead role, you're still there a lot of times with a hammer and a nail and helping with the set.
And we encourage our actors to be involved in the technical side, to help backstage or to help with pre-show building and construction.
Because why?
Because it buys investment in the show. It brings them in early. Elsa and Brady were kind enough to let the actors volunteer to help in the costume shop, building puppets, things that they had never seen or done before. And it brings them together as a cast. It's really important that the cast have start to cultivate friendships. Mm-hmm. And that'll make the show run smoother. And it's one of the things, especially in community theater, that's really important. When you form new friendships, then you come back for more shows. You come back as audience to see your friends in other shows.
Yeah, that's so true.
It's it's just really important. And it's also, in a show like Wolves in the Wall and the Book of D, which is two shows put together, it's a great example for the younger kids who see the older kids willing to help out, see the older kids willing to be involved in not just being on stage.
Yeah.
Because it sort of strips that stardom quality out of it and makes it more like a project that everyone can be involved in.
Can you give us just a little info on what the Wolves in the Wild, what's that about? Just a little teaser for...
It's about a young girl who hears noises in her house. I guess everybody will have had that experience where it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you hear stuff in the walls and you don't know what it is. She's sure she knows what it is. From the very beginning, she knows what it sounds like. And I've thought about it a lot as I watch the production come together. It's a lot of different things. It's a story of empowerment for the child, for girls in particular. But it's also kind of a coming-of-age story in the way it's staged here. Lucy goes through this journey where she has to make some decisions and act on those decisions that are really important for her life. And I think that our actors and actresses on the set with the puppets and with the props that we've designed acted out perfectly.
Yeah.
I think they really do a great job. But it's kind of a coming-of-age story for a girl who has to accept her own power.
Okay. And I do want to let people know, too, if you want to find out anything about theater going on in the Acadiana area, Marie, I'm trying to think of how long ago that was you started that blog.
I don't know. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
At least, yeah. And you can go to AcadianaTheaterHappenings.com.
Dot blogspot.
Okay, .com. So that's AcadianaTheaterHappenings.blogspot.com. But you have listings on there of upcoming productions that are going on in the area.
I try. Everything I get.
It is. And I mean, and you know, and it takes people out there participating in that.
Right.
But you also, what I also love is you do great synopsis of the pieces that are being done, and then you also have reviews that people will do.
Yes. And if anybody out there wants to submit reviews of shows that they've seen, I pretty much take anything.
It's an open forum.
Open forum.
Yeah. But that's quite a service you have done for this area.
Well, thank you.
And like we were talking, you have never been, you've been in theater for how long? However, have never had a paid job in theater. And that's just another one of them. So this production, when you think about reading the book and the characters that are in it, then let's talk about how you got Elsa and Brady involved with Wanderlust Theater.
I met Elsa and Brady through Acadiana Theater Happenings. When they did their first show here through Wanderlust, they did Shylock. They contacted me about putting some information up on the blog. And after discussions with Cody, we realized that something like puppetry might be great, and on their amazing website, it talks a little bit about their involvement with puppets. And Brady and I had lunch, and I made this, he asked me what puppets would be involved, and I started listing them and kept listing them, and it was a long list.
But not as long as it became.
Not as long as it became.
This is true. And he seemed very interested. And the next thing I knew, we were in the costume shop.
Now, Wanderlust Theater Company, Elsa, that's you and Brady McKellar. Is that how pronounce his last name,
yes,
McKellar?
It is.
All right. I want to tell people, if you go to their website, which is wanderlusttheater.com.
Mm-hmm.
The CEO isn't in that part. Okay. Wanderlusttheater.com. You need to, and I don't think this is just me, but when you go to that, it's a wonderful website, and it gives you great information on everything that your company is doing and everybody involved. But it's so well done, and as I told Elsa before the show, it makes you want to hang out with everybody who's involved. It's
well,
just
thank you.
It's a wonderfully written website. And everybody, there's just such creativity that comes out of everything you read on there.
Well,
about
we try
everybody.
To keep it up to date too, and we also have a Facebook page that we post pics of the day.
Yeah.
So as we've been building these puppets, even if it's just a framework, we try to post it so people can kind of see where we're going with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. How did that company get started?
Well, Brady and I met in college,
and was that in Mississippi? That was at Southern.
At Southern Mississippi,
okay.
In Hattiesburg, and. They put us together as partners,
yeah.
And then again and again, and it just looked like it worked as a creative partnership. And so Brady went on to graduate school. I started working in theater professionally, and then I went to graduate school. We kind of flip-flopped, and it just seemed to work. And as it grew, we were able to kind of split our skill sets so that we both didn't have to learn everything.
That's
you know?
Right.
So with puppetry, it's kind of evolved to where Brady's more, I think, the engineer
But Becca, how did puppetry get involved in your life? I mean, what?
I grew up in a youth theater that had a puppetry component.
Now, where was that?
In Mobile, Alabama, okay. for my older years in high school, and also I'm Greek, and so there's a pretty strong shadow puppetry tradition. And my dad was really involved in that sort of thing, and so
you had that as a kid.
I did.
Wow.
And I really enjoyed it. And Brady did youth puppetry through his church. And so when we got to, when Brady got to graduate school particularly, it was in costume design and technology. And so they did include puppetry as part of that program. And so it just, we kind of evolved into that sort of thing.
Yeah. So. Was it something that, I'm curious if the puppetry ever got put, like when you first started off in college, did it ever get put like on the back table for a while and then you brought it back
out? For sure. You know, not most shows, theater shows don't call for it.
Yeah.
But I think we both really enjoyed taking inanimate objects and kind of bringing them to life.
Yeah.
And the more we learned about it, the more we realized that there's a need in the United States to bring puppetry back for adults.
Yeah.
That it's kind of really been sort of commandeered by youth education and public television, which is terrific.
Sure.
But it has definitely shifted it in the United States, whereas like in Europe and Asia, it's still very much an evening tradition for adults.
Like when you talk about your Greek background.
Well, absolutely. That's an example.
Okay.
Certainly in France, and there are religious components in Asia and India still.
So that involved puppetry.
For sure. Because, originally it almost seemed mystical. So a lot of their gods and goddesses are are presented in puppetry pieces.
Yeah.
So,
and now when you talk about puppetry, this is where some of my ignorance will come in with puppetry. But now there are puppets that are manipulated by people's hands.
Right.
But then, does puppetry also involve like strings, or is that strictly a marionette?
No, it's all incorporated under the heading of puppetry.
Okay.
In the theater world, we call it object theater, which just means that you're taking an object and something that's inanimate and giving it life.
Okay.
So it can be manipulated by strings or rods, or it can be your full bodies, like in The Lion King.
Sure. Exactly.
So it all of it falls under the heading. There's a group in New Orleans that I believe is on America's Got Talent right now, and they do light wire theater. So they're dancers, effectively. They're dancers, and they have lights that run throughout their body, and so they come together in different objects and tell a story, but it's completely black except for their lit wire. So there's endless possibilities of what you can do with puppetry.
Yeah. And now you yourself, do you actually create, you make puppets?
We make our own puppets. We very rarely use ones that have been, made by someone else, or we purchase them.
Yeah.
In fact, I can't really think of an example. And we also manipulate them, or we teach other people to manipulate them.
So you have a large puppet closet?
Yes.
What happens to the puppets?
Our house is very strange.
Yeah, I've been very cool.
I'll tell you a little story. We were leaving to go on vacation, and we have these full body puppets, and I thought Brady had to go back in the house for something, and I thought it would be funny to put them in our bed. And it was funny, except the fire department was called while we were out of town. So I have no idea what the Lafayette Fire Department thinks of us now, because it was completely a joke. But yes.
Wait, can we ask what the puppets were?
Oh, they're us. They're full size puppets.
Oh, they were.
So I guess we're a little eccentric.
That's
I don't
great.
Know.
Well, and then I should say too, Brady is on staff here at UL.
Yes, he is.
He
teaches costume design and technology, as well as theater appreciation and occasionally a theater history class.
Okay. But you spend time, you do programs kind of throughout the Gulf Coast.
Right. Well, we both do, but I am more of the traveler during the school year.
Yeah.
I'll teach in New Orleans or in Mississippi, whatever the kind of the need calls for. We're really, one of our components is outreach that we're really committed to. So we just came back, actually, we spent June in New Orleans teaching puppetry for television and film for a free camp.
Cool. Yeah.
And so they're kids that would ordinarily not get that opportunity, and they produce their own music videos, they build their own puppets, that sort of thing.
Now, you talked about bringing that you think it's important in the States, in this country, about, you know, reintroducing adults to... Do you teach classes for adults in
we
puppetry?
Do. We do.
Do that.
And what we really try to do is actually the reverse of what you might think. We try to teach our children or the youth level the same class that we would teach the adults, and we just kind of raise the bar that high and see where they'll go, rather than taking youth material and trying to bump it up to an adult level. We kind of try to do the opposite. And usually we're very surprised by how much they can accomplish.
Yeah.
So
I had a chance to run in the theater quick before backstage. And, I mean, the first thing you see is, like, great colors. You know, when you see the puppets laying there, I mean, that's the first thing you see is just these great, vibrant, you know, colors of them. And then you start seeing... Well, I saw... I saw the pink. Now, one of the characters in the play is the pig.
Right.
And she belongs to Lucy.
She belongs
to Lucy.
The young
girl. Okay. The pig is in there.
Yes.
You know, you made the pig,
yes,
too. And the, you know, I'm curious with the actors, because I was thinking about that when I was looking at some of the things in there. Do some of the actors use the puppets?
Well, we have, when we auditioned people, we have a company that we've kind of put together for the show of puppeteers. And then we also have four humans and four wolves who are also puppeteers effectively. But
that are in the storyline, four humans,
right,
and four wolves. Okay.
And so some of the humans also, like Lucy, also manipulate their own puppet.
Ah.
But they also interact with puppets that are being manipulated by puppeteers.
Yeah.
And the wolves, they're in full body puppets. And so they're all the time actor/puppeteers.
Sure, yeah.
And so it's been fascinating to watch. And I think that when we auditioned people, we kind of said, you don't have to have experience, you just need to have a willingness to learn how to do this.
Yeah.
And it's been so much fun because, you know, they came from varying backgrounds and experience. So,
and Walter, I would think now as the director, directing, and I don't want to use the word typical, but directing for other types of theater, that when you all of a sudden bring in puppets that they're having to interact, is that a whole different technique that you have to work with the actors on versus interacting with another human being?
No, surprisingly, the actors relate to the puppets almost immediately. We just have a tendency if something moves and seems to speak to us, we kind of accept it. Mm. What's been different is that Brady and Elsa work with the puppeteers more than I do. So I don't shape the puppets' performances so much, but no, when they're interacting with each other, when the humans interact with the puppets, that's been easy right from the beginning. Brady and Elsa gave us stand-in puppets. So from the very first day of rehearsal.
So they were other, like, kind of creature
they
puppets.
Were, or they were blanks, you know, they didn't have eyes and that sort of thing, but they were the shape of the puppet that they would be using. So there was always something there that they would be interacting with until we had an opportunity to build the actual puppets.
And so is that kind of a typical thing that's done in these types of productions where you have those stand-in
and
blanks?
We have those extras just kind of laying around waiting, you know.
Yeah, waiting for something. It's my chance.
Yes. See?
Because, you know, I mean, that's
you
what...
You buy into the puppetry, too.
I know, because, you know, ever since... For me, I'll speak for myself. Ever since so many of the movies, the animated films have become so popular, any kind of creature like that is an inanimate object, they're alive to me.
Well, somebody told me the other day that they had seen online, someone had gone into their kitchen and put googly eyes on everything in their kitchen. And I thought, I would be paralyzed in my kitchen because I couldn't eat any of the food.
That's right.
I couldn't use the microwave.
I know.
You know. So I think we really have been conditioned, especially through animation.
You do.
Yeah, to anthropomorphize things immediately.
That's a good word. Mm-hmm. That's a good word. I'm not going to. But you know, but that is that whole thing about, you know, you do. That's the first thing I thought of for those blanks. It's like, this is my shot, you know, to get out there and do my deal. You have how many people in the cast, Walter?
We have 31 people.
Wow. Holy cow. That includes the puppeteers and...
The human actors and the puppeteers, yes.
That's interesting. Have you had, because just that terminology, I don't always get to hear much, and having worked in theater for a while, is the human actors, you
right.
know?
But the puppets are really actors. The
yeah.
puppeteers, and one of the reasons that Brady and Elsa gave us the puppet stand-ins early on is that the puppeteer creates a character which is responsive to the human actor. And vice versa, just like you would do if you were really just two human beings. The puppeteers express themselves through the medium of this inanimate object, but they speak, they move, and so we do tend to view them as the puppet actors and the human actors, because the puppet actors are expected to act. They have to be physically and vocally very expressive. They have
yeah.
to be responsive. They don't operate in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Or independently from the human actors, they interact with each other, they interact with the humans, so they're very much actors. And it was one of the challenges and I think attractions to the puppeteers is that they had real parts. Even when their faces aren't being seen, they're still acting.
It's going to be interesting to see. I've got some other questions I want to ask you about the puppets. We're going to take a short break here, and we're going to listen to, you brought in some of the music that...
It's music we've been working to in the shop.
Yeah.
We liked Amanda Shaw when we saw Hurricane on the Bayou in the 3D.
Oh, Amanda the fiddle player.
Right.
Ah.
And she was, I guess, about 14 when she was in the film. And immediately that's kind of what Brady and I thought of when we thought of Lucy. You know, she was very natural
yeah.
and kind of moved to the beat of her own drum. And, I mean, she's gotten older since
then,
but that's kind of what we think of. Because when we build the puppets, we try to think, well, what would Lucy imagine?
Yeah.
And so we kind of, you know, that's what we groove to in the shop.
Is that Interlude?
Yeah, the whole CD is
Oh, the whole CD. Okay, well, we're going to listen to, at this point, we're going to listen to Interlude. And this is Amanda Shaw.
Yeah, good Southern girl.
All right. Go to track number 5. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But you sure can't hide.
All right, that was Amanda Shaw, and actually that was Mississippi Kid. If you're just joining us, this is The Exchange on KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette Lake Charles. We're right here on the University of Louisiana Lafayette campus at Cypress Lake Studios. Please check out our website. Please remember that we are listener-supported radio, and we do have a secure site. So if you like what you're hearing, all the different programs, and it's incredible the number of independent producers that this station has now for all kinds of programs and music, looking at every genre. So please check out the website at krvs.org and think about helping us out here. Our guests today are all folks that are involved with the upcoming production of Neil Gaiman's The Wolves in the Walls. And that opens July 26th, this Thursday, here at Burke Hawthorne Hall, the building that we just happened to be in here at the Caribbean Studios. But my guests are with Wanderlust Theater Company, Elsa Dimitriadis, and with Acting Unlimited, we have Walter Brown and Marie Diaz. We're talking about this project, and we've been talking about the puppets that are involved with this. And Elsa, that is your area of expertise. And now you were talking about how my curiosity with not the full-length puppets, but with the small ones, how that gets presented on stage if people are manipulating those. Well, you know, I always think they are from above or behind a box or something.
Well, we have we have a couple of puppeteers who are hidden within the scenery, but we also are doing some shadow puppetry, so they're behind a screen, so you don't see them at all.
Oh, now there goes your Greek heritage in there.
We did incorporate some
very
of that.
Very nice. Yes.
And we also have some marionettes, and we just have the puppeteers right there. You know, you kind of let it go. They're in complete blacks. They have black hoods, so you can't really see who they are. Yeah. And it's really interesting because very quickly you kind of disregard the puppeteer and really characterize the puppet in front of you.
And that's the mystery, too, isn't it, of stage? I mean, I think for people who have never gone out to the theater, you know, now here's a good example of something to come to, because I mean, you see that in other types of productions too, where you all of a sudden just forget that something is something, you know, and you're paying attention to what is being said or what is being acted, or you know, and for the puppets, you know, that I can see that happening, that you just don't even know that that
We hope so, and I think this would be a good opportunity if you're not super familiar with puppets. There's a huge variety of styles that, you know, we've tried to incorporate as many styles in one show as we can,
yeah.
You know, so you kind of get a smattering.
Now, for a production like this, do you have any guidelines that you have to stick to because this was a book written by this gentleman, or can you just create whatever comes out of your brain?
Well, what was nice was, initially, you know, we got a list of the puppets, and then we went to an early production meeting, and I went home. I was able to go. Brady wasn't. And I went back to Brady, and I was like, there's some aliens, and he's like, whoa, where did these aliens come from? And so it was a lot of fun because Cody wrote in a lot of, and once he knew there were going to be puppets, I think he really kind of let his imagination go
wild.
So
some of those characters came in because of Cody's adaptation.
Oh, absolutely.
Not because of the book. Right.
They're based on things that are in the book, but the characters arise out of Cody's imagination.
And that's quite an imagination,
right? It is quite an imagination.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So then that's where, how many puppets total have you had to do?
There are 28 puppets
wow.
as of right now. And I hope because it opens on Thursday that we're at a stable number. But yes, but you know, with the wolves, if they're in full, we've got 4 heads and 8 feet and 8 arms, you know, 8 hands. And so
yeah.
It's been a pretty big build.
So there's 4 wolves, and then there's also a wolf child, or that's one of the wolves?
That is one of the 4 wolf family members.
Ah, okay. And that's being played by, we talked about Jaren Shake-Schneider.
Yeah, she's the wolf daughter.
She's the wolf daughter. Okay. Mm-hmm. So is she in some type of a, or maybe we don't want to give that away.
She has a headdress and you know, wolf feet and wolf hands.
Yeah.
And you know, they've really worked on their physicalization so that they're, you know, feral-like.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's done an outstanding job, as everyone in that wolf family. They've really committed to trying new things.
So who's playing Lucy? That would be the lead character. Huh?
Her name is Carrie Schick. She's an actress here in the ULL Department of Performing Arts.
Okay. So you've been able to cast... I mean, because this is also a partnership that you folks are doing with the university, too.
University is co-producing the show in lending us Burke Hall and the costume shop and the scene shop. They've been really, really wonderful. Adam Weil, who is the house manager and the assistant technical director, has been really great to work with.
Ah, okay.
They've come into 810. One so far. They'll be back in the fall.
So you've done an exchange where they come and do a production at Theater 810.
During Festival International.
Oh, that's
we co-produced
okay,
Kaleidoscope
that's right.
with them.
Yeah.
They will send a student show in September, completely student-run and directed, and then another one in the spring.
Boy, that's nice that there's that university-community connection now working together, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we've wanted to do this for quite a long time, and now we have a group of people that seem interested.
And it's great to have their actors available to us when they're not committed to a show here.
Yeah.
Like during the summer, there is no summer show at UL, so their actors are free if they're available to do shows with us or with anybody else.
Yeah, any of the other groups.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to have them. And they've been good to work with. They've been really good with our cast members who are not trying to be theater professionals who just love acting or love being on stage or want to work backstage.
Walter, how many people are actually working like behind the scenes? Are you having to have more with this type of production?
Oh, you mean in the sense of stage crew? We have a light board operator, we have a sound operator, we have 3 people working as stage managers backstage, and then of course we have the designers and builders of the puppets and costumes, which is Brady and Elsa.
We have some people who have come in just to help paint the set.
Yeah.
And build puppets.
Mm-hmm.
10 anyway. About a quarter of the people involved in this will never be seen on stage, but their work is absolutely essential to creating this. They're definitely part of the creative team. They're part of bringing it to life, but you won't know them.
And that's right, too, because theater, you know, which if you haven't been involved with the theater production, sometimes you don't realize how much work and how many hours. I know also like what you were talking about with all those puppets and, oh, gosh, you know, here we're going to open in 2 days. That's pretty typical theater.
It is. It is. You know? I was telling Marie last night was our first dress, and I said, this is my least favorite rehearsal. And she was like, I love it because I get to see everything. And I thought, yes, but this is the night that I have to, like, make this enormous list of things that need to be fixed, you know?
Sure.
So, because it's our first opportunity to really see everything kind of working together and what works and what doesn't work and that sort of thing. So,
now, have you ever been involved in costuming?
Yes, actually, I was a shop supervisor for many years at different universities, and you know, by way of Brady, if he's, you know, needs some overhire, then I'll come into the shop and help.
Yeah, because you also did that, Walter.
Yes, I certainly did.
Yeah. Do you do any of that still? Any costume
He
work?
Did for this show. He came in. I mean, anytime he was done with the set, he came in and pinch hit, you know, for our...
Yeah, in fact, it was one of the reasons I was willing to work on the show. I wanted to make puppets.
Have you done that before?
I used to work with puppets, and I made puppets, marionette puppets, when I was much younger, and even a couple of rod puppets, but I hadn't really worked with people who had training.
What was that, rod puppets?
A rod puppet. Instead of being maneuvered by strings from above, as a marionette is, rod puppets are maneuvered, they're jointed creatures, but you attach long dowels to them, and you manipulate those dowels.
Yeah, okay. In your family, Elsa, is there? Do you have siblings?
Yes, I have an older brother and older sister.
Now, are they involved? Just with that being part of your growing up with puppets, are they
they went. My sister's very artistic as well. My brother, not so much, but he certainly, you know, drove me to dance lessons and, you know, everything growing up. And so, you know, and even my mom, we needed pre-show and post-show music. And you know, everybody's really taxed because it's a pretty small team, you know.
Yeah.
And I called her and I said, you know, we need music about wolves. And so she sat there and compiled it. So,
wow.
So, you know, and Brady also came from a pretty artistic family. And, you know, Marie's children are in the show, and so we're a pretty big family-oriented group.
Who's in the show of your pack, since we're talking about wolves?
Joseph is a member of the human family. He's Lucy's brother.
And now He graduated from UL
in May, yeah.
Okay.
And he's interning with Acting Unlimited.
Okay.
And Martha's in it. She's one of the puppeteers. She's leaving for New York in August.
And where's she heading out to?
The Atlantic Acting School.
That's where she's going. All right.
And my little one, Annette, is also one of the puppeteers. She's one of the shadow puppeteers.
So, and when we talk about puppeteers in this program, we have the shadow puppeteers. So they're actually doing the things with their hands.
Right.
Actually, they're made out of plastic, painted plastic. And so they operate, if it's pressed up against the screen, then you can see the shadow puppet, but you don't see the human. It's a really early form of animation, if you will.
So, okay, my understanding of shadow puppetry is I'm going to learn right now. So, but shadow, you know what I think of shadow puppetry? Yeah, I'm sorry, Marie, and we're not on TV, but the stuff with the fingers.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about at all.
Well, that is a form of shadow puppetry, but early on, you know, thousands of years ago, they would take leather and cut it very thin and paint it and put it up against a sheet, and you light it from behind. And so it's kind of like, I guess, like a window decal, you know, clear window decal.
Okay, all right.
So that's what we're doing.
So that's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I really did see them making shapes, you know, with their fingers. Okay, all right. And then the other puppeteers will be manipulating...
Hand puppets,
kind of
a Muppet-style puppet, and rod,
okay.
Where one arm, you know, is operated by a rod from below, and then they can also move their mouth open and closed. And then we have marionettes, and I'm sure I'm free. Oh, full-body puppets, the wolves, as well as a large animal. I'm not going to give it away, but a large animal that comes out at one point.
Yeah.
So there's a variety.
Wow. And I do want to mention that show, The Wolves in the Walls, opens this Thursday. It runs Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. And then there's a Sunday matinee at 3 p.m. And that's this weekend and through August 5th.
Right.
And people can go to find out more about the production, Marie?
They can go to our website, which is... actingunlimitedinc.org. We have a Facebook page which has a lot of information.
If you get on Facebook and search Wolves in the Walls, it comes up.
The event comes up.
And we also have an Eventbrite if you want to purchase tickets online. And you can just go to eventbrite.com and search for Wolves in the Walls.
Oh, okay. And there will be... tickets, like if people come to the door,
there will be tickets available at the door. They can call Theater A10's phone number, which is 484-0172, and make phone reservations and just pay when they come in.
Okay. All right. So again, keep in mind that opens this Thursday. Now you have another production that is you're talking about as a curtain raising production prior.
That's correct.
It's called The Book of D.
It's The Book of D, and it was written by Cody for the specific children in Wolves in the Wall.
Okay, now when we talk about specific children, we're talking about just the young people that are...
Children.
Okay, right.
I think the oldest of the people in that production are, I think, 14, maybe 15.
Mm.
We have three teenagers, and then everyone else is 12 or under.
Ah.
And Cody watched the auditions and saw these children and then wrote this show for them.
Oh, so that's where... Okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
But it could be performed by any group of children. I mean, it's a lovely story and easily producible. It's a really good show.
Now, can you tell us at all about what the story is about?
It's about imagination. It's about a little girl... in our production, it's a little girl named Dee who is very imaginative but doesn't have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
And she finally comes across another child who becomes her friend. And then I guess there's a crisis in the relationship, you would say, and they have to deal with it.
Now, is there puppetry involved with this?
No, this
okay.
is just
so you got a break.
yeah,
my show was.
I think there might have been a mutiny in the costume shop.
Yeah.
No, this is just a straight youth theater production.
And it's a short piece?
It's very short. I think it runs about 30 minutes, Walter.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that, 25, 30 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for Wolves in the Walls, that's something that's appropriate for the entire family.
Absolutely.
All ages.
It really, Cody, you know, took the, what was an award-winning children's tale,
yeah.
and it has definite appeal to adults.
Yeah.
You know, it's similar to, you know, like, movies that, you know, you can bring your children to, but you would enjoy on a different level as
sure.
an adult.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Neil Gaiman is a writer who writes children's books and adult books. A lot of them award winners. So if you're familiar with his writing, then you'll know that this show could be watched by anybody.
Yeah.
And enjoyed.
Okay. Walter, in this production, what have you learned from, in terms of theater and your work with theater, in working specifically on this production?
Well, it's been a lot of fun integrating the puppets. It's something I've wanted to do for a long time. And I think that it's very valuable for actors to realize how much of a performance is in the physicality of it. They have to project themselves through the medium of the puppet, and they have to think about it a little bit more. They have to be more aware of, even when they're performing now as humans in the future, how much of this is in what you do, how you sound, how much of it is in where you seem to put your focus. And the puppets have no inner feelings. The puppeteer brings all of this to them, but how much can just be recreated again and again and again? How much of it is taking what's inside you and then focusing it out through some medium, any medium, and projecting it to the audience? So I found that very helpful.
When you rehearse a production like this, are mirrors ever used at all for people that are with the puppets to see what, you know, if that's like a first-time experience for them?
No, they use mirrors when they're at home. Now, during the production, the cast members would sit in the audience to watch what was happening on stage. So all the puppeteers would get to see other people manipulating their own puppets, but they could see what was effective and what wasn't effective. So they could watch each other and learn from each other. They would work on their own, and they would work backstage with each other, and Brady and Elsa would come in and tell them. I would talk to them about what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just curious like that, you know, when you would put on, you know, or when you would have to do something with a puppet the first time.
We had talked about that a little bit. I didn't want them to become too self-conscious by watching the performance itself. So
okay.
Instead, I would direct the puppets the same way I would direct human beings. I would say to, you know, one of the puppeteers, I need you to seem more concerned here. I need you to enter faster. You need to be a little more upstage. So we always talk to the puppet as if it were a person.
Okay.
And then the human manipulating it would internalize that, but we always would focus on the puppet as the animate living thing so that everything was focused through, even if it's just a sock.
Yeah.
Because if the puppeteer believes it, the audience will believe it.
Okay. That's
the
a
other
good point.
Actor will believe it.
And now, Elsa, with your with Wanderlust Theater, you guys go in and do programs with kids. Mm-hmm. I know that just in terms of like the social services realm, you have used puppets in programs with kids to teach about a variety of things.
Well, we don't bring in ready-made puppets. Part of their process, or what we like to do, is have them create their own. So they start from the design process, and they go forward from
yeah.
there. One project that we did actually in New Orleans for the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival is we took a group of at-risk youth, and we taught them about stereotypical characters that are used in a certain type of shadow puppetry, and how could we take that, which is a, you know, 100-year-old tradition, and recreate those stereotypes to, you know, fit a New Orleans-y sort of environment.
Yeah.
And it became very political, and I don't know if they realized that through the process, but it really dealt with, like, police aggression and adults not listening to each other, and it was really fascinating. And then we were able to perform that at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival.
Oh, wonderful.
So it's really a medium that people can express themselves with no fear.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting, even, for example, some of our puppeteers are hidden behind things, and some of those things were just finished recently, and you can see that their puppets have really even come to life since they feel masked, since the puppeteer feels masked,
sure,
you know, because
yeah.
they're, you know, they're like, who cares, because nobody knows it's me, you
That's
know,
right, yeah.
And so it's been fun to to trust the process.
Yeah. You know? When you did it at Jazz and Heritage Fest, where were you inside the...
We were in the kids' tent.
Oh, you were in the kids' tent mm-hmm. there. Okay.
And they often have puppetry in that area.
Yeah. Do you travel to do other festivals?
Yeah, we did the New Orleans Fringe Festival this year.
Okay.
Next year, we're hoping to go to the Capitol Fringe in D.C.,
yeah.
And we recently went to the Shakespeare Behind Bars. We took Shylock, which is our non-puppet show,
yeah.
One of them, to the Shakespeare Behind Bars program in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, sure. That's what the prison's
right,
at,
it's
yeah.
a medium maximum security prison.
Yeah.
And so we performed for them because they do, you know, Shakespeare pieces.
Yeah.
And that was completely fascinating.
There was a documentary done on
yes.
them, right?
Did
okay.
you see
I
it?
I saw that. Yeah.
What they're doing now is they're, through Skype, they are mentoring a juvenile justice program that is the same.
Wow.
And so the adult prisoners are mentoring the younger, you know,
oh, that's
incarcerated.
Great.
So
you don't have a lot of free time.
Interestingly, this kind of is our free time, and,
yeah,
and it's nice that we work together. You
no,
know?
And it's not, but it's that's always just a wonderful thing when people end up in professions that you just absolutely love.
Yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it
that's
is.
That's a great place to be. I had seen that you have on your schedule for Wanderlust for upcoming class. August 20th, the Recovery Academy Theater 810.
That's Keith Dorwick, Dr. Keith Dorwick
here
on campus. He is at 810. They're doing a series of workshops for women who are battered or having substance abuse issues.
That's right. Okay.
And he's bringing in different people to come in and teach directing and stage movement, and we're doing puppetry.
Ah.
And then they can use any of those things that they've learned, and they do a production.
Wonderful.
And so we're super stoked about, you know, coming in and helping with that.
Yeah. Oh, that's fabulous. Okay. I was curious what that was. What's coming up at Theater 810?
Well, we'll be housing Keith's Recovery
oh,
Academy.
That's right. Okay.
And the production that will follow, which is in September, I think.
I think it's
yeah,
early September.
I think it's in September.
And that will be Proof.
No, that's the UL production.
Oh, Proof.
That's the UL production. That'll be brought in by the department. It's a student-run, student-directed, student-manned production.
Yeah.
They'll be holding auditions, I guess, sometime early in August
okay.
for that. After that, we don't have any names for productions. We hope to mount something. Acting Unlimited
yeah,
hopes to mount something for Halloween.
This okay. is kind of the season where all of the theater companies are deciding their upcoming season.
Yeah,
so I'm sure
right.
they're going to be flooded with requests.
That's you right.
know?
You know, Marie, you have, I said you are very involved in theater in so many ways in the area here. And I'm curious, too, with you, with this production, what... Was there anything that you learned new as you watched
oh,
this coming
my gosh.
Together?
Yeah, it was, well, just in terms of watching, it was interesting to watch the puppets go from the sketch stage all the way to an actual puppet that could be used on stage during the production. But for me, it was more of a business evolution.
Yeah.
Watching how, or learning how to promote, how to get people interested, how to do things that would cause people to be invested in our show before the show actually opened. We ran a Kickstarter Which has been, I think, really successful in making people feel like they're part of the production.
Yeah.
Some of our Kickstarter donors have actually showed up to help paint or to help work backstage, which has been really fun for us.
Yeah. Because that's the part. It's great to have this great production, but if nobody knows about it, if nobody has means of finding out to get intrigued about it, you know.
It's been, it's difficult because, like I think every theater company, certainly in Lafayette, there's not a lot of funding. There's not a lot. People don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
We try to keep our productions really inexpensively priced for our audience members. But we still need to find a way to get the word out, and that's what I've been learning is how to get the word out, how to
that's
make
right.
sure that people know. And we rely on people like you and Judith and people in the newspapers to help. Matt Seeger, Cherry May, those people have been really helpful to us in this production.
Because you forget about you know. Like a lot of the arts out there, I mean, theater people, you don't get paid for, you know, what you're doing on that stage, you know, and with especially with a cast this size. Now, what's the age range of people involved in this cast?
Anywhere from 8 to Ray. I don't know.
Basically, 8 to 60s.
Ah, okay, fabulous.
8 to mid-60s. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Most of our productions, especially our summer productions, have had a pretty wide age range.
Okay.
And again, it's good for the younger actors to see people persevering, and it's good for the older actors to see the enthusiasm that the little ones bring.
That's and to mentor.
That's
you know?
It's a great learning process all the way around for everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I want to encourage everybody to go out and see The Wolves in the Walls. It opens this Thursday here on the UL campus at Burke Hawthorne Hall. You can call 484-0172 to find out more information on that, too. You can go to Acting Unlimited.
org
to check that out. Elsa Demetriadis, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for
having
me.
Please check out the Wanderlust Theater Company's website. I love the website. And it was a pleasure meeting you.
Pleasure meeting you, too.
Walter Brown and Marie Diaz, thanks for coming on. We're going to go out again with another piece from Amanda Shaw called Cruise.
Yes.
And go support local theater, everybody. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Boy, let me tell you a secret.